on the whole group.
That's us all riding out.
Oh, I have five in my.
You have five in your?
Yeah, but not on my phone.
Whenever you're ready.
I still see it.
How's your mom?
Good.
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Chris, do you want us to wait until Arnie gets here?
Yeah, he just got over the red and
okay.
He'll be here.
No problem.
Like 15 minutes.
Sure.
Appreciate the flexibility. I got stuck driving to Clemson back in the fall when Trump was going in to do a speech in downtown Columbia.
We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. It is Thursday, February 13th. It's 5 o'clock in City Hall. I'd like to acknowledge the press and public have been notified according to the Freedom of Information Act. All committee members are present, the administration. The next item on the agenda is approval of previous month's minutes of January 15th.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Right. Opposed? Okay, then we're moving on to citizens' comments. Hey.
You made it.
Wow.
I was fussing at a friend who's in the motorcade telling him to.
Yes, it worked.
So we are at citizens' comments. Anybody can come on up. Yeah, come on up, Michael. And then,
I wasn't sure if to do this under Marine Attack comments
it's
or just citizen.
Yeah. This is good. Know.
It's not a big meeting, so it's kind of a.
We went through it.
So I've been up all night. I had told a few of you, my friend, best friend growing up, received a liver transplant last night and finally got it. And I was up all night. And so if I stumble over my words, I apologize. So anyway, be an organ donator. All right, so we had the community meeting last week.
Yes.
And it was very good. We were actually surprised, you know. I mean, there was a lot more turnout than we had thought, and you know, the timing allowed for retired people to come in first, and then people who were had jobs and things like that. So it was an older demographic. So when the boards went up all around, all the pieces of paper, I was really surprised at the outpouring for tidal wave support. There was a lot of people that I didn't know there. So, you know, I kind of Mark Malley and I kind of joked, we're like, well, if we got this room, then you know. The online survey should be pretty good because we had a lot of people come out who got in and got turned away. So I hope that this has provided clarity for this you know workshop provided clarity for the council to move forward with things related to the marina. So at this time, I would like to request the city move forward with lease negotiations with us. And I'm asking this because we are at a critical time. If things don't move forward, there's a high potential we will not open. Okay, and I'll let you know why. Because of our lease concerns, we didn't buy skis for a number of years. And because of cash flow over the winter, we sold all of our jet skis. And we have to make a very, very large capital investment. Additionally, I finally got my insurance quote for the year. I have to make this payment by April 1. It's over $100,000. It was far higher than what I had anticipated. You know, to buy jet skis for one season is a financial nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to try to, you know, take the loss on it. It's not doable. So, you know, it's very important for us to move forward. Recently, there's been a push for the city to make laws requiring that all contracts go out for bid and follow state bid procurement code. I ask, why does the city really want to do this? Why would you want to handcuff yourself in too much government red tape and complicate a lot of situations? I'll tell you a story. A few years ago, during the last dredge project, our dock fell in. And thankfully, Linda Tucker moved heaven and hell and attained a sole source contract. Our dock was repaired in 3 days, and I still talk about it to this day because the financial implications that would have occurred had we waited for a bid process to go out, we would have been devastated. Recently, I had read that the police department had purchased communication equipment, and it was a sole source contract. Supplies purchased by city employees every day get purchased without a competitive bid. You know, so doing a law like this, where do you draw the line in the sand? You know, at what level? $3, $5, $100? You know, at what point does it have to go out for bid? Figuring this out just to make this a law could take months. And then again, you may find down the road that it's going to handcuff everybody. I just encourage council to look at the situation and consider how tough it would be to make things moving forward. There are situations which a bid process should occur. The Morgan Creek was a classic situation. Two reasons. Something had to change and money had to be spent. Okay. Morgan Creek was deemed building was deemed deficient, and so something had to change and money had to be spent. By keeping Tidal Wave, nothing has to change and no money has to be spent. So there's no need to waste administrative resources, money paid for consultants, and moreover, precious time of all the council members. The citizens let the council know that Tidal Wave is their overwhelming choice. You know, they listed on the paper not only water sports, but they actually listed Tidal Wave specifically. So again, we ask, please begin lease negotiations with Tidal Wave. I spoke with Kirby from ATM today. He stated that our permit was moving forward and he did not see any reason that anything would be held up. I was speaking with him about something else. Revenue sharing leases. Revenue sharing leases are for companies who are starting out. The base rent is far below market value, and if the company does well, they could potentially reward the landlord who took a chance on them. It's a risk reward for both sides. I feel at this point in time, we all want to mitigate our risk. We want things to be stable. Stable equals happy. Not only are revenue share leases like this not standard in our industry, the structure of this lease creates finger-pointing, slanderous accusations of cooking books, and it's an overall toxic environment in which two collaborative relationships parties can be put in jeopardy. It can lead to unnecessary expenditures for outside auditors and attorneys, and it's also a large time consumption of personnel resources on all sides. Additionally, I would like to add, Tidal Wave, we're not a publicly traded company, nor are we a startup. And because of that, we would like to attain some level of privacy when it comes to our personal financial lives. At this time, we would like to ask council to move forward with the negotiations on a flat rate lease. We hope that going rates have marinas throughout the area are the basis in which negotiations start. I've researched local marina rates, and I will give a handout, and I hope that we can begin negotiations soon. I believe that this is a fair basis moving forward. I'll leave you with one last thing. In my handout that I gave to people during the meeting, I stated in it that the marina was purchased in 99 from the city as an amenity, not as a profit generator. The marina in large has been totally funded by marina tenant rents and A-tax tourism dollars, not citizens' property tax dollars. Finances of the marina should always have the A-tax as a part of the equation in any evaluation of the marina. It is more than just tenants and costs. The marina tenants have a lot to do with the people who rent homes, shop at the stores, and eat at our local restaurants. We help with the overall economy of the island. I thank you.
Sure.
And here is a copy of the local marina rates. I did this a couple weeks ago, and then I called today to just verify that. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I allowed you to kind of go over our 3-minute rule just for the fact that we did have a...
I didn't know.
No, you're fine.
I didn't know how long I was going.
No, we usually have marina tenants on the agenda, and it wasn't on the agenda here, so I don't know if I'm...
That's my bad, and I apologize.
You're fine, so we'll just keep moving forward. Is any other comments from the crowd?
Chair, if you don't mind entertaining a motion to move item 5B to the top of the agenda. We have two gentlemen here presenting that request and under new business, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to move item 5B next in line.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the motion is consideration of extension of the Palms Hotel parking agreement for use of the municipal parking lot.
Yes. So, and while y'all can come in, can come forward, but I'll give some background to the committee and on the record. So, during the time when the city leased the municipal parking lot to an outside vendor for the management of that parking lot, the vendor, which was Bill Shop, had an agreement with the Palms Hotel for them to use the parking lot for parking of guests and employees, and then at the end of the month, they would pay the vendor whatever fees were due based on the number of parking spaces used throughout the month. So when the city took control over the management of the parking lots, we granted a similar agreement to the Palms Hotel for the first year. It was amended and extended for another year, and that agreement expires this month, February. The agreement states that the parking is available on a first-come, first-served basis. They are not, the city does not make any guarantees that parking will be available. They understand that if it's a busy weekend, you know, it's first come, first serve. They pay the same daily rate fee as any daytime visitor. I think the purpose of the agreement is, you know, recognizing the convenience of hotel guests, and the hotel guests stay there overnight. We enforce parking between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. So rather than, I guess, requiring for the guests of the hotel to have to come in and out and either move their vehicles or purchase a daily pass while they're there, then, you know, they provide a monthly accounting to the city and then pay the city whatever fees are due, $10 Monday through Friday and $12 Monday, Saturday and Sunday. They do understand that if the city changes the rates, that would be modified as part of the agreement. That was part of the second amendment that was made last year when the city moved to 10 and 12 daily rates. So we haven't had any issue. We go through the reporting every month. Debbie does that and works closely with Aaron. Just for background, last year the agreement with a hotel generated $106,000. The year before it was $70,000. We had a wet spring that year.
The rates were lower also.
And the rates were lower. So just for your information, last night council had a budget workshop and they are considering increasing the rate for the weekend from 12 to maybe 15. So no decisions have been made, but whatever decisions city council makes would have to be included in that agreement.
It would basically follow the same thing that County Park is currently utilizing as well. Like I said, we just had a discussion.
What about the County Park?
So the County Park, their rate is $15 Saturday and Sunday, so we would be making those rates consistent.
Understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we recommend amending the agreement and extending it for another year. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could add a provision there that it's renewed automatically every year unless notified by the city. The city always has the option to cancel it at any time, and if we are using the parking lot for any reason, we have obviously priority over that. Mm-hmm. But I think while we are using that as a parking lot, it's an arrangement that has worked well on both sides.
Yeah.
And if it's okay, the amendment would include an automatic renewal so that they're not having to come every year and ask for the same thing.
Well, it also says
they're just getting tired of the
our guests,
probably.
No.
And our guests are booking for the summer now.
Right.
So,
yes.
You know, we're behind pace when people don't know if they're going to have a place to park their vehicles or not.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts us.
Correct.
You know, we're a building of all individual unit owners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's just one business. We can, you know, I've got 20 different people
mm-hmm.
asking me and
mm-hmm.
a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if it's worth considering, but we have still been saying that we will have parking available to some degree
mm-hmm.
At $10 and $12.
Mm-hmm.
We've contributed that. You've got the hard
mm-hmm.
numbers, 106 in 2019, and that was net. So we actually take a loss on that. We pay the credit card processing fees.
Mm-hmm.
Just give you guys a check, clean check. So I don't know if there's any special circumstance where we might be able to have 10 and 12. But it's just something I'd like to throw out there since
mm-hmm.
we it is going to take some, we're going to have to explain it to mm-hmm. our guests, and mm-hmm. there will be pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got the tax revenue here as well, which I'm sure you all don't need to hear, mm-hmm. but we're an important part of the island. Mm-hmm. Everyone's important, but we do bring a lot of people here and to support the local businesses. Without parking and, mm-hmm. you know, if they spend $15 to park on a Friday, it's just money that they're not going to spend elsewhere, and not to mention they're going to leave with probably a bad taste in their mouth. So.
Well, it would only be Saturday and Sunday. Friday
right.
is 10.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I said, and it was just one of those ideas. Mm-hmm. Like it's
yes.
a work for them, so it's still in discussion.
Sure.
Correct.
I think one of the things that we're obviously taking into consideration this year, too, is that a significant portion of the parking is also being reduced this year because of the municipality mm-hmm. building being mm-hmm. Being worked on. So
mm-hmm.
It's going to kind of amplify that situation for parking mm-hmm. in the area as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We'll definitely share those concerns with the rest of council.
Yeah.
They haven't made any decisions mm-hmm. or changes, concrete changes to the parking rates.
Sure.
But I guess it's always been part of the agreement that, you know, if the rates mm-hmm. change, then, you know, those.
I think the issue with less parking and lower rates is
mm-hmm.
we don't want a flood of county park people
mm-hmm.
choosing lower rates, and then you've got an exacerbated problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now we have less parking at a cheaper price, and you have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't have any objections.
Go ahead.
So we need this, they need this agreement extended here by the end of the month, I think. Or
correct,
close
this month.
To that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we melt in the new rate if we decide to go over the new rate?
It would just be an amendment.
Another
yeah.
amendment?
Well, with the I mean, depending on whether council wants to do any, if council does decide to increase the rates and wants to do anything different for the hotel, then that could be addressed via an amendment. If not, there would be language in the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the language of the
that's
agreement would include that change and would become effective once council approves it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any idea when that might be? Just because, like, if we do
mm-hmm.
get a new agreement, people are going to be under
a 24-hour-old conversation.
Well, what do probably wouldn't go into effect until the new budget year.
Correct. Yeah,
so
which would
be
July.
Okay, so until July.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right
yeah.
now.
Just because we will start to tell people the rate is $10 to $12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's tough to switch it on them.
Yeah,
going
I understand.
Going forward, obviously,
mm-hmm.
we can adjust it and go
mm-hmm.
from there. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need a motion.
Yes, please.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to renew the existing lease with
parking agreement.
With the parking agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And also to make this renewable without having to come before council and subject to rate change language.
Yeah, that's
okay.
perfect.
And I will second.
Okay, Kevin seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Perfect.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
That make it easier for you guys.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll slide back into old business. This is our update in public safety building rehabilitation project and consideration of approval of the third phase of the contract.
Yes.
So we have folks here.
Yes, we have Chris Burrell and Arnie representing the design build team. And in your packets, we included the final set pricing for the construction.
And I've got some additional stuff, too.
We have some additional information. And then Arnie will walk us through where we are right now, and hopefully we can get. I think that I passed something different. Is it the same thing, Chris?
It is. So yeah, this is. I kind of summarized the options, the cost options, the budget options, the different things that we discussed, and was gonna.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would help facilitate getting us to a final number, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
with everyone's input.
Great.
So, as Desiree said, I'm Chris Burrell with Trident Construction. I happen to live on the island, 2702 Cameron Boulevard. So I have a vested interest in seeing that this is done as we islanders would really want to see it done in an effective manner. we've been working on this for close to a year now, and I'd just like to compliment the city staff in their willingness and openness to help us as we went through the process. Just been fantastic to work through. We set a schedule, and we've been staying on that schedule ever since we got started. And here we are today on schedule, hopefully getting you guys to approve the contract amount. As things happen through the course of what we do, when we go and do these types of projects, you start out with a budget, and your goal is to stay on a budget. And we've done fairly well with that through the various stages of Barney, the architect here, and we've got another team of MEP engineers, envelope consultant, that have all worked on diagnosing the public safety building and figuring out what needs to happen there. So as we've discovered what we've discovered, and as these guys have designed solutions, we've been pricing it as the design has been evolving and advancing. We do have a permit. Or apparently we have a permit from Doug that's ready to go, so we can start it as early as the contract's executed from that standpoint. But as of our last iteration, if you look at the sheet that I handed out, and I'll just kind of start with that, we started it out, and our budget was $5,256,779, and presently the drawings that we have in for permit are over budget by $160,000. What we've put together on this sheet with the staff's help in trying to figure out what we could do to bring it back under budget without taking away the absolutes that have to happen, we put together several options. And those options revolve around how we treat the entranceway. The entranceway currently there is now, it's got a trellis, and that trellis is deteriorating, it's rotting, and the stone columns or cast stone columns that are supporting it, they seem fine, but it just doesn't make sense to go back and put some other material that's going to have to require a lot of maintenance. Part of the issue that was with the public safety building was that
the original turned it off.
I like the song.
Yeah, it's
good, it'll go start away singing.
By the time I find it. Okay, apologize for that.
Okay.
I promise I'll turn it off now.
One of the one of the big things with the building is the previous design team. They weren't from here, and I don't think they really appreciated just how corrosive the environment is. The building's 700 feet from the ocean. And it's got a southwesterly prevailing wind that just hammers it, you know, in the summer months and most times of the year. So there's a lot of beating that that building takes. And they didn't necessarily contemplate using the best materials that could hold up to that. And that's been evidenced, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, you know, the fact that they did what they did with the entrance trellis, for instance, putting a material out there that requires maintenance and is just a long-term headache. We're trying to avoid that. We're trying to get away from any of those things and looking at making the building more resilient to those types of conditions. So we haven't touched any of the stuff that's really critical to the overall performance of the building, but what we have suggested, and if you'll look, I've attached a summary, basically some images of what we're proposing, and then Arnie's got some larger size ones that show more of a perspective. But Arnie, if you want to talk about the kind of the concept for the entry portico,
right?
That's one of the ones. That's one of the things that we think we can take away relatively easy, without really diminishing the building character. And we've come up with some other solutions for that. And then we've got another thing that we want to talk to you guys about relative to the apparatus bay where they park the fire trucks. Where it is starting to show some signs of corrosion and stuff, because the doors, you know, even though they're not open all the time, they are open from time to time, and that salt air is getting in there, and the building's nearly 10 years old, so we're starting to see some things there. But let's go to the
front so entry. Let's just talk sort of exterior skin concept and what the building looks like. So as we went through this process, I mean, our number one goal is to improve the performance of the building from, and to eliminate the issues that you've had there, the moisture, air infiltration issues, indoor air quality issues. But when you are literally stripping the skin off, if it were me and I was having work done where they're peeling my skin off and putting my skin, I might want them to fix my nose or, you know, do something else. So same thing here as we talked, and as Chris mentioned, so if you look at the front of, this is the what is in the, what we call a base bid, what is over budget by a small amount in the overall scheme of things, is We would remove the wood trellis. There's sort of an overhead trellis. Really, it's just kind of for looks. It doesn't serve any real purpose. It doesn't give cover or protection or anything. And we looked at some options, but ultimately the decision of the committee, and we agree with it, was to get rid of all of that. But we still need some kind of entry, covered entry at the front porch or front door to provide some protection for people coming in and out of the building, and also to help keep water from coming under doors and things. So long story short, if you look in the sort of center of this picture on the front, we proposed rebuilding or building a new kind of taller porch element. Since we've gotten rid of this other thing that was there, we proposed maybe doing a stucco and masonry, built out of masonry, but stucco entry porch, entry element, and something that had a little more presence to it. It is a public building, represents the town, the citizens of the town. So the idea was to do something that had a little more oomph to it. Unfortunately, oomph costs money. And, you know, the overall, because we have to structure this a certain way and build it out of the right kinds of materials, one of the things when we pulled all the numbers together and saw them, we had to look at options to get you back under budget or within budget. And so if you look at this scheme, which has the big 30 because that's the street address and doesn't have to have that, and you see the second page also shows, gives you a better feel of how that element might look. We've essentially assigned about $176,500.
Let me ask you a question relative to the budget.
Yeah.
So when we look at this relative to budget, this is probably directed to Desiree, there was a contingency built in by you as a contractor.
Correct.
And we built another contingency on top of this. So when we look at relative to budget, how does the contingency numbers factor in to budget?
Right. So the budget that you're looking at does not include the city's contingency. So the city's contingency is over that $5,256,000.
So it's conceivable that the contingency money, whatever option is chosen, would cover the option.
Correct.
Okay.
And we are carrying some, how much are we carrying?
We're carrying
now?
10%.
10% contingency for unknown.
And that 10% is in the 5.2.
That is in that number now. Okay.
And what will happen is we'll track the expenditures as we find things. We'll track those expenditures and we'll report them back to the staff and Desiree, and we'll keep track of it. And whatever we don't use at the end of the day, 100% of it goes back to the city. So kind of the thought we had with some of this was, you know, until we really get into it and get everything torn apart, we don't really know what we've got.
Right.
So until we can get through the tough part, you know, and see where contingency is, you might be able to go back and do some of these things. But
wait, what do we put on top of the Desiree to City?
15%.
15%. So there's, I've told her earlier today, I can't remember names, but I can remember numbers.
So just to jump, if you're okay with it. So that's kind of where we stand now. And so if you, and before I go to the second option, I do want to talk about the skin of the building. We are going back, we're simplifying the kind, if you look at this building, I've sort of said it's a little bit like a wedding cake. There's a lot of stuff going on the outside, and every one of those things, as the building pops out and has these horizontal edges and stuff, are places where water can enter. So one of our goals was to simplify the cladding, the skin of the building, to reduce the possibility. You always have the reality that water is going to enter through siding, but you want to manage that, so to provide better water management. So the layout that you see here of the siding and the trim has all been much simplified, still looks good. The building will look different when we're done. We'll probably paint it a different color, you know. I mean, this is just kind of thrown on there. We haven't picked colors yet, but so a lot of thought has been put into that. We are keeping the existing windows, but we're going down to the block. When you walk out in another month or two, there's going to be the skin ripped off, and you're going to see the bare block on the building right now, and then we're going to build back out from there. So if you'll flip to the third and fourth page, and you may want to do these where you can kind of flip back and forth from the front to the third page, you can kind of see the difference. In this case, we're talking about one of the options we've looked at is keeping the awning. There's there's a metal awning over that door now. And so we would keep two of the columns. There's several precast concrete columns there. We would keep those two and basically keep that awning structure, but get rid of the trellis stuff. And so that is the reduced price. $176,000.
Yeah, so to go that route, we would save $161,000.
Right, right. There's some cost of
and that puts
reworking
us,
that.
That puts us $620 under budget.
Yeah, we're so technically
we're right there.
$620. Right. You know, basically, we're on the dot. And again, got some contingency built in there. So if we have a better day than I had today trying to get here, you know, we should be good. But it's not horrible, but it's not as nice as the other one. Again, you know, if the task is...
Rousing endorsement.
Yeah. If the task is to solely make the building perform better, this will still perform fine. Doesn't, you know, it's really more of an aesthetic. And to a certain extent, I mean, I'm a big believer. We've done a lot of municipal work where I feel like municipal buildings represent people. And, you know, so you want to be proud. You don't want... I mean, we could have thrown metal siding on this building and made it look like an agricultural building, but is that appropriate? So I think that's my you know, 2 cents about it, but I think y'all have to make the fiscal decisions related to it. Mm-hmm. And you can see a little bit closer up picture. It's just, it's simple and would certainly work. The kind of third option that Chris threw out is on the rear side of the build, what I call the rear side of the building, but the not so public side of the building. Right now, there's no awnings or anything over that, but we're just doing a real simple metal awning like you would see on a commercial building on the back, and we could do that very affordably on the front, and it would be
that's
less
what we
than
would get
this.
If we did the 176 savings.
Right. So that would.
So it'd be this one.
I don't know
right
if
here.
You can really see, but the one that's on the back is just a simple little
simple,
you know,
shed
4 foot awning.
So as we look at contingency monies, and we still don't know what happens when you peel the skin off, at what point do you have to have a decision on the facade?
Mm-hmm. We discussed it.
So it's when we're actually working on the skin, and we're going to start in the back and work our way around. So there is some time. You know, the thing is getting the steel frame that goes inside of it. Right. I got to procure that.
Foundations.
So that would take some time. So we would just have to look at it. I mean, ultimately, we could put it in the contract as an ad alternate if you wanted to, and I could just tell you the drop-dead date is this. We have to make a decision.
And we'll see where we are on contingency
right.
at that point and
right.
make that
right.
determination. Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about
that. Gives you the most flexibility right
mm-hmm.
now. Just, you know, and I wish... We had x-ray vision and could tell you what we're going to find, but I've done enough demolition to know that sometimes, you know, the good news is this building is not wood. You know, there's not a lot of potential, but you could still find some ghosts in the closet, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what the contingency, that's why we've recommended it, is for that very reason.
So the other thing that we talked about, and this is just putting it on the table, we gave some other thoughts that of things that if the budget got into a predicament, we could take some other parts and pieces off of it, which has to do with the apparatus bay where the fire trucks park. And if you look back on the third page, I put some pictures in here so you can kind of get a feel for what the inside of that looks like. It's steel, and it looks like they had specified a little better paint on the steel, but it's not still good enough to hold up and not require maintenance and repainting. So you can see over the 10 years that it's been there, there is some spotty corrosion, and that's the bottom picture kind of is indicative of that, and that's happening all over the place. One thing to keep in mind while we're basically going and undertaking all the work that we're going to be doing on the building, The police department and the fire department are all moving out. We're going to be working in close union with them to accommodate them however we need to keep some aspects of the building functional. But there's going to be a time where either way, we're going to have to empty out that apparatus bay. Mm-hmm. Now is as good a time as any because, you know, after we're done, there won't be another one of these chances where you're going to have to move out for a while unless it's some sort of routine maintenance thing. So the thought there is we had included going in with a high-performance, high-build epoxy coating, a paint that's going to go on, and it'll be a multi-layer, two-part system that's going to hold up for years. I can't guarantee you how many years because it's basically this environment, and it varies. Yeah. But the expense and the effort that they have to go through for that to properly prep and get all the existing stuff off of that steel and go back with that primer system and then the two-part top coat, it's just a very superior coating. I mean, they put it on the steel that's on the aviary at the aquarium, and it's lasted for years. We just redid that for them after 20 years. So
fairly labor-intensive prep work, very, I think, is one, yes, of the, one of the expenses with that.
Yeah, and just to put it into perspective, it's a pretty good size area, and it's very high in that apparatus bay. And if you didn't do that high-performance coating in there, that would be $90,000. We would recommend, at a minimum, going back and repainting it because it has reached its end of shelf life. So that would be $21,000 that you'd have to go in and spend that. But it's, again, it's not going to be that salt environment, high-performing paint. So if we were to adopt that, you'd be looking at being $85,330 under budget. If you did the simple shed roof awning and that, and then... Yeah.
And just to clarify, we are doing the high-performance coating still on the police side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the pictures, you see why. It has a higher exposure,
yes,
to salt,
yeah,
air, and there's no... You really don't have a choice there.
Yeah.
And if we talked about waiting, you know, what was the drop dead date, mm-hmm, to make a decision on the high performance bait for the apparatus bay, and you indicated 5-6 months, mm-hmm, in potentially, so that could be another item that we could make a decision on. I would prefer to just go ahead and include it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the contract, I think, you know, waiting a couple more years and costs go up. Correct. And we might as well just go ahead and do it now. There's no reason not to, really.
We totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a cost benefit analysis.
Yes, that would go under essential.
It's just, I mean, it's crazy how the salt air, it just is.
Yeah.
Real tough. So on that note, I guess for contract purposes and for showing that we're where we are, I guess, relative to the recommendation to the Ways and Means, we would recommend option 2, but that we would go to put an ad alternate in there for the enhanced portico entry,
mm-hmm,
and then give you guys the drop dead date to make a decision.
Okay.
Would that be the recommendation?
Just go ahead.
What's the warranty on that coating?
So unless we go to a Tanemic and they write a specific spec, which also comes at a cost, but also it's basically, you can get a 20-year warranty if you go that route, but in reality, these guys are going to only give us, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10, just because they're of the environment and they're not going to guarantee it unless you go to the expense of having them write a manufacturer's protocol and all this stuff. We did that at the aquarium and it was quite expensive. So here, this is our solution to get that performance but not have to pay the high fee to get the peace of mind on the warranty.
Basically, when you start into those kind of warranties, you're paying, they raise the price based on the warranty they're providing. So there's a balance there. If you say, I want a 20-year warranty, you're going to, you know, who knows, it might double the price.
Yeah.
Because they're going to build that into what they're doing for you. So,
but at the same time, it's the same, we're planning to use the same painter that did that work down there. And they're an industrial painter. That's primarily their business. So they will do all the steps and everything that makes, I mean, the real performance is in prep. The mm-hmm. more you prep it, the better. The paint will adhere and the build of the system will function. So we feel good about it. I mean, like I said, I don't want to see the city spend any money unnecessarily. We want to give something that's going to perform and, you know, not put something on it just so we can say you got a 20-year warranty, because to me it's kind of...
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you need a motion?
Yes, or we would... they are prepared to come on Tuesday for Ways and Means to make a similar presentation to the rest of council,
okay.
But the committee can make a recommendation on one approach for the Ways and Means meeting.
And I like the idea of doing that on what Chris has stated with the option.
We don't have to restate that. We'll use his words.
So
he
scope,
made the motion.
Scope adjustment option two with an alternate for the additional
portico.
Mm-hmm. But to include...
a drop dead date.
But also to include the coating.
Yeah, so the scope adjustment option two, the only adjustment would be the portico design.
We're keeping the high performance
paint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll make that motion.
Okay.
And I'll second.
Perfect. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're good?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Appreciate
it.
Awesome. Next week. Thank y'all.
So when do we think we're starting? When do you think we're starting?
So as soon as I can sign the document after council approves it at the end of the month.
I'm not
going to
be
able
to start with
the council.
So we'll be ready to execute the day after council, and you know, our folks are already moving out of the building, and we're hooking.
Chief Graham's in no hurry.
So we should be ready to go 1st of March.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you
y'all. Appreciate it. Thank you for
your
time.
Glad you made it.
Sure. Sorry about that. See ya.
Sorry about that. Sign you just typed. Both the parents got admitted to the ER. Just went. So. Both of them went. So, okay. So, we'll move on to B. Update on Marina restaurant lease.
Not a lot to report. You know, we're working with the proposers. We are still in the due diligence period. We'll have more next month.
Okay.
And we're basically trying to get some clarity and some confirmation or plan or agreement of some sort related to parking. As you all know, the marina manager has control or manages, is responsible for parking management. So the three parties are working on an understanding of how that logistics will work. So we're in that process now.
Okay, good. Keep it moving along. Update on beach renourishment permit modification, and this is for the...
For Breach Inlet, the city requested a modification to the 2018 nourishment permit to allow for dune restoration along a small section of Breach Inlet. That permit is out for public comment through OCRM. The modification requests permission from OCRM to scrape roughly 6,000 cubic yards of sand from the accreting shoals of Breach Inlet and form a dune. Those properties have no dune protection. They've been eroding significantly over the past few months, and this would restore that dune along roughly 1,900 linear feet of shoreline. As you all know, this is a project that's being coordinated with the property owners. The city is facilitating the permit, and they are paying for the dune restoration. All that information is online under our beach renourishment timeline.
Perfect. Any questions? You don't need anything from us on that, then?
No.
Okay. Update on permitting for Marina Docks and docks currently leased by Tidal Wave.
We are in the same position we were last month. We got the OCRM permit, waiting for the Army Corps. Every time we reach out, they said it's just a matter of writing the permit for the Marina Dock Rehabilitation Project. And so we should get that permit in no time. It's just a matter of just a few days here and there. The geotechnical work was completed today, I believe, and it'll be about 2 weeks before they submit a report to ATM. So we should be ready to go out for bids this summer and start construction on after Labor Day.
And the geotechnical work was basically to verify
the condition of the
condition
soil.
Soils and how far we can drive them, the piles and what have you. And as for lease... the current lease to Tidal Wave Dock Sports, that is the We went through OCRM,
correct.
Went through citizens' comments,
mm-hmm.
still kind of the same situation.
Correct. So public comment period mm-hmm. was over. They didn't receive any public right. comment. Now it's just the staff, the OCRM staff going through, and they haven't reached out to us with any questions. Mm-hmm. We think that they might, but we haven't received anything yet. And it's, again, same process as the marina permit. Mm-hmm. Once it's done through OCRM, it'll go to the Army Corps.
Okay.
But nothing new on those two items.
No. Here we have discussion E, discussion of future use of tidal wave, of the dock currently used by tidal wave. So we have just currently, we talked earlier during public comments about the form that we had and the number of comments we had for that throughout the whole marina. But as for online comments, those are shutting down tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we'll be able to assess those comments and those and take those into consideration when make a decision moving forward.
Yep. If you have not submitted your online comment, please do
yes.
so before
yes.
end of business tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. New business. Discussion of landscaping and hardscaping improvements. Is this an update on this project? Or?
Well, I have Robert here. And, come up.
Sure.
Robert is the, as you all know, the Assistant Public Works Director for Facilities and Maintenance. And he has been working really hard and putting together a plan for Front Beach and making some improvements. It needs some tender, loving care, and also work and being the point person for the Leola Hanbury Park. As you all know, we're constructing a multi-use path to segregate pedestrian traffic from vehicular traffic coming down the connector. That project has not yet been completed. Nobody was more surprised than I was when I drove down the connector and did not see the bamboo there, because that was part of the plan to try to shade the building and
mm-hmm.
soften the appearance of the building. But unfortunately, the contractor could not keep some bamboo there. So we immediately sprung into action and we're getting pricing for painting, and we're going to be planting palm trees all along the building. And public works staff is working on a fence, wooden fence, that is going
mm-hmm.
to block a lot of what you can see currently into the property.
Go ahead.
Well, that fence that we're building on the connector, are we going to wrap it around
yes.
in
yes.
front of
yeah,
the OLA?
Continue
yes.
on.
Yep. And maybe
yes.
redo that gate?
Yes.
Yes, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's in the plan also.
Yes.
It's hanging
okay.
off. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, we have a good plan. It's just a little bit. We're waiting for the project to complete, and public works folks are working on that fence in between their garbage
right.
schedules
really
and everything
just
else.
Thursday, Friday schedule that they've been working
okay.
on. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's not going as fast.
Right.
In
the palm trees, you said palm trees are going in where?
Along the building.
And they fit.
Will it fit?
Yes.
Yeah, they recommend any space over 3 feet, minimum being 3 feet, so
okay.
we have four there.
Okay.
The thought being is if we get palms
uh-huh.
that will, and that's, we're going to get the ones with the canopy on them, not the candlestick cut, so it will fill and bring that building down a little bit, because I think the consensus was once that bamboo went down, everybody was kind of shocked by it.
Right.
So, you know, get the palms, we already have palms, get those palms, because there are the mirrored palms that were on the other side of the road that we had to remove them against the building because
mm-hmm.
they were just in a spot where the grade was so high that the actual tree was exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we would plant those back at the level of the sidewalk.
Just two concerns with that is as the palm trees, I mean, while we have 4 foot between the sidewalk and the building,
mm-hmm.
and as the tree goes up, I mean, will we have any problems with the foliage
yeah.
brushing against the building? Or
I mean, they can back cut them, so
right.
they won't. So you'll just see the front of it, and it'll mm-hmm. stay off the, you know, like we do with all the palm pruning. We do it all the way around.
Okay.
There, they can cut the backs and the
okay.
dead stuff. There will be some issues when it gets a little closer to the gutter because the gutter pulls out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like with having those nice long trees there, and then we do plan on doing a hedgerow, a controlled hedgerow, lower on the building. It'll kind of bring you up and then bring you down a little bit with the two different types of trees.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't want to foresee that, you know, problem. Mm-hmm. One other thing, would we need encroachment permits for those trees?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Okay.
Just, I'm not sure of the budget, but just another idea. You can stagger the palm trees. You can have, like, say, 16 footers with their palm fronds right. coming out, and then you can have like 12 footers and their palm fronds coming right. out. Mm-hmm. So you have a little bit more of a yeah. cover floor, and then you have your lower stuff. So I don't know if that's in the plan.
Yeah, well, we have anchoring on either end of the building, two that we were able to keep that were really tall. So the idea was, I think we were going to do another tall one to give us almost three, and then shorter in between that also. But we're just kind of playing around with all these ideas now okay. too. Like I said, the paint is first, and then we have to go into the landscaping stage, and we've been getting prices right. on everything.
And I would just double check with the arborist to make sure that they, mm-hmm. if they feel that it's some type, if they don't foresee a problem with
sure.
palms growing and creating yeah. issues sure. down the road.
And we're also working with the garden club ladies,
mm-hmm.
And getting their advice and getting them involved in the landscaping plan, and
right.
they're
okay.
very excited as well.
Okay.
And then. Do you want to talk about Front Beach?
Sure. So with Front Beach enhancements, I guess it was a big plan that was done several years ago. It was more landscaping, flowers, plants. I kind of reversed that a little bit and go to the function of Front Beach, because we've got the picnic shelters that are literally falling down, mm-hmm. and I have some pictures included in that. And this is just a real simple proposal to turn that area where we have two big concrete slabs that are just made for those picnic shelters, because they have big round sleeves that they fit in. They no longer make that picnic shelter, so you couldn't just swap that out
mm-hmm.
and put it in there. So the proposal is to do a pervious patio brick in that area.
We're talking right behind the public restrooms.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right by where and I have
yep.
pictures of it. And just do a patio in there where we can put smaller octagon-shaped tables, where you can fit more people, rather than just having two tables. If you have two people sitting at a table that's intended for 4 to 6, nobody can sit anywhere else. So, and plus with this, we have, when they put the grass in, it's really, that area is so shaded there that it's just failing. You can see spots where it's actually worn down to the irrigation, and you can see the canopies on top. And this is just showing the paver, the pavers. That's what I'll do the same. And then that would be the location of where the patio would go. And then there's also the same tables coming ADA also. So we would have to put one there. And they would reduce the slope of that grade, so it'd be much more gradual. So if you do have wheelchairs or whatever, they would be able to get up to the table. So it's pervious, keeping in guidelines with everything else we're pushing around here as far as permeability.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good way to clean up that area. It's simple.
We have trouble growing grass.
Yeah,
it's there because
just,
there's
it's
no
grass,
sun. It gets a
yeah.
lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's two picnic tables and then benches, and it's just, how to maneuver around that area is just not very user-friendly.
These picnic tables, we put them in, I think, the Carmen R. Bunch Park, same ones, and they've been there for 3 years, and they're brand new. So it's all that recycled plastic. You don't have to worry about the metal blistering. And then you don't need, if something were to fail with them, you can just replace them. It's not like you have to be confined to just having this concrete slab, a picnic shelter, and that. And that, in the prices we were getting, they varied. I mean, I think we're up right around $12,000 for the patio.
And the idea to right next to where the aloe palms mural is,
mm-hmm.
to create another gathering space with
Adirondack.
Yeah, she can't say
Adirondack chairs.
Yeah.
To create another area for folks to sit down, rather, in addition to the picnic table. So it'll be very inviting and additional seating space for folks.
Are you looking to move forward with this prior to the beach season?
Yes.
Yeah,
then,
that's really
so
why
it's,
I would.
So it's, for budget-wise?
Well, if it's under $15,000, we need to get additional written quotes. We don't have to go
mm-hmm.
out for a competitive bid, but we do go out and procure additional prices. We
mm-hmm.
just don't have to do the sealed bid
right.
process. So that's, we're in the process of doing that, and then I can approve.
Okay.
On that, I just wanted to, put it on the record, and this is one of the things that we've been trying to do to spruce up that area, and we have another landscaping plan, another lighting plan that we're going to phase out, but we would
mm-hmm.
like to get this done
okay. And it would come out of Front Beach, which line item?
It will come up out of the Front Beach landscaping, the landscaping budget. So you all recall we have a landscaping agreement, and we added additional funds to address Front Beach specifically. So it would come out of that.
Okay.
We have roughly 90,000.
Do you need anything from us?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
I think a motion not to exceed maybe a number y'all feel comfortable with, maybe 15,000, and that will give us some wiggle room as we get more quotes in.
Okay. Will the chairs be secured, bolted down?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yep. And that was that price, the rough number that I put out, that was just for the patio. So it's not including the chairs and the tables and all the fixtures that
okay.
will be there also.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Motion not to exceed 15,000?
Sure.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We'll come back before us again.
Yep.
So.
Great. Thank you.
Give us an update.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank
have
you.
A good night.
Where are we at here? Discussion of tide. Oh, this is interesting. Tide gauge and water level monitoring systems.
So the city is working on a pilot program in collaboration with the South Carolina Beach Advocates and some of the other member communities on this project. This is currently the Charleston area only has 2 tide gauges along the South Carolina coast. So this project will increase the number of tide gauges available that will help us, that will provide like real-time water level data. And hopefully help improve the tide forecasts for the first year. And as you all know, we're dealing and managing flooding and drainage challenges. So I think that having this real-time data, additional data other than the 2 NOAA tide gauges that are out there, I think it's a beneficial project. The cost of the city is $500. They have received, the South Carolina Beach Advocates received a grant from a Google Foundation, Schmidt Marine, and they're covering the $6,500 of the initial cost of that tide gauge. We are sharing one with Sullivan's Island. It's a pilot program, and we're all sharing the data and the information. It's all going to be analyzed together. And we're in the process of collaborating with Sullivan's Island on the location. And it has to be preferably a public dock. So we are looking at the IOP Marina as the location to place that, probably on the intercoastal water, coastal waters wayside. But we want to make sure that Sullivan's is okay with that location because we are sharing the cost and the data. And we just need a public dock location, and it has to have cellular data. That's how it transmits the information, and has to have access to sun. So we also talked about Breach Inlet, but that dock is private, and although we could potentially they would grant us approval to put it in that dock, we prefer to have access without needing to go
permission.
And we also thought about Breach Inlet Bridge, but the sun would have been a problem, and it's solar powered. So, yeah, just updating you on all that, on that. I think it'll be a interesting project to work on. We're all very excited about it. And if everything goes well, we should be ready to get that installed this month.
Perfect. It'd be interesting to start seeing real-time data.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally confused by this table
of
the cost.
Yes.
So, but it's $500.
Yes, for the city. Yep. Mm-hmm. Every member in participating municipality would pay $500, and we're all sharing it. So we have one between Sullivan's and IOP, and there's another in Folly, and there's all of the locations are listed there. The only cost of the city would be $500.
Cool.
You don't need
anything from us.
No.
We can move forward. Okay. Review of Front Beach. Maintenance, marina, capital expenditures. I think you had the sheet that was passed out to us earlier on that, but this has been updated since your last one.
It has been updated since the last time you saw it, and it will be updated for the next time you see it after our budget meeting last night. We have currently for the Front Beach area, we have $20,000 to replace portions of the white fencing. We always include that as a placeholder for an as-needed basis. Mm-hmm. $100,000 for replacement, repair, and addition of dune walkovers. That number will increase for the next next version that you mm-hmm. see, because the Greenbelt program, it's a reimbursable mm-hmm. project, so we would just
spend it
spend it, and then we would get reimbursed. Mm-hmm. And we submitted an application for 20. The city would be providing 20% of matching funds
okay.
to cover additional design and engineering. So that number will increase slightly. We have $30,000 for MobiMap material. This is the material that we lay down mm-hmm. in some beach access paths to enhance ADA compliance and help folks with physical challenges get to the beach. We have $20,000 for building maintenance contingency fund to address deferred maintenance. This is related to the public restrooms down at Front Beach. We also continue to include $75,000 fund balance for future expenditures related to infrastructure improvements that Ocean Boulevard, as you all know, the city owns 10th to 14th. So that goes into a sinking fund to help us address those problems when they come. And obviously plan to be proactive in mm-hmm. addressing those issues. For beach maintenance and monitoring, we have $250,000 for post-storm sand scraping, emergency berm repair only if needed. $39,000 for post-project monitoring. This is required by the permitting agencies related to the beach renourishment project. Mm-hmm. We have to monitor that project for 5 years. So that $39,000 is what we would pay for FY21. And then $35,000 for ongoing monitoring of the whole 7 miles of beach. So we mm-hmm. no longer monitor the project area, but the whole beach. For the Isle of Palms Marina, we have $2.8 for the dock construction, $750,000 for dredging, and $334,000 for the recoding of the marina bulkhead. As I indicated yesterday, we are still looking at data related to the dredging and waiting for updated numbers for the recoding of the marina bulkhead. We believe we can do that mm-hmm. Unless if it's part of the overall project.
It would be great to see both the dredging and the marina bulkhead numbers
come down,
working with other entities down there with dredging and so.
Yep, that's about it.
Anybody have any questions? Like I said, we're going to massage this thing again.
Yeah.
So, that'll give you an idea where we're at. And like I said, it changed since last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked, this is discussion of improvements of Waterway Boulevard sidewalk. I asked that this be moved over from, it's usually public works discussion. And I think it's kind of a real property idea.
Yeah.
Because it is a city-owned city maintenance problem that we're having. And I saw where somebody had gone out and started marking.
Yes.
Part of it?
After we received notice that somebody had gotten injured
yes.
running this past weekend, I asked our staff to go in and spray and paint the areas where the roots are exposed that are creating tripping hazards.
Are they going to do the balance of it?
Yes, there should be.
Basically everywhere there's trees.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So just a heads, we thought about cones, but cones fly off.
Yeah.
So
it does.
If you're walking in, it'll make you be aware and notice the unevenness.
Mm-hmm. I saw where they did the majority of it. Mm-hmm. I just know towards the marina side, there's a lot more that needs to be done.
So. Okay, so I'll double check that tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. But thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Just as people know, we're trying to make some headway on that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
And just as just for the record, we are submitting a TSD funding application to the county for funds for that project.
Mm-hmm.
We should get a response from the board by October of this year.
Okay.
However, I think that there are still things that we could do in the meantime to address
some of those problems,
issues that are obvious.
Budget process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We have our next meeting date scheduled for March 4th at 5. Well,
good.
Okay. No executive session? Motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.